Day 3. Cake. Gerald. I stand in front of Grafton Manor, waiting for my taxi. The sun hasn't fully risen. Next to me, my suitcase and attaché case are neatly packed. The blueprints rest on top of my suitcase in their cardboard roll. At home, they'll go into the closet where I catalog all my important documents. I check my watch. It's 6:13. The taxi will get me to the train station at approximately 7:50, giving me plenty of time for a coffee before the Vermonter arrives at 8:35 to take me back to Manhattan. I have double-checked the app, and it shows the train has left St. Albans and, barring any unforeseen disaster, will be arriving on time. It is still several minutes too early to expect the yellow cab to pull up the drive. That I have left without saying goodbye to any of the others makes me feel heavy inside. This shirking of the rules of civility tugs at my chest. I should have, at the very least, gone down for dinner last night, but I was not at my best then. I am still upset by the events of yesterday and embarrassed by my reaction. Sometimes it can be difficult for me to process when things don't go as planned. Up until yesterday's competition, I had been very much enjoying my time away at Grafton, despite all the changes I'd had to make to my daily schedule in order to come. But it wasn't fair what happened yesterday. I stand by the absolute quality of my ingredients. Every tincture had been prepared and stored with the utmost attention to detail and quality. A flash of yellow appears on the road as the taxi arrives. Right on time. A relief. I instruct the driver on how to load my suitcases into the trunk and settle into the back seat. I brush the wrinkles out of my trouser legs as we start back down the drive, glancing behind me as the gables of Grafton's roof recede into the distance. Soon, I will be back in my apartment, back to my routines. I imagine my morning coffees and long walks. The thought should soothe me, but instead I find myself growing agitated. This wasn't how I'd planned on things going. It isn't losing the competition that upsets me. It's the unfairness of the whole situation. If I had lost because of an error I made, then everything would be fine. But I am certain I didn't lose due to an error. Someone tampered with my orange essence. It's the only plausible explanation. I recall page 43 of the Bake Week dossier, which states that it is strictly against Bake Week policy to intentionally sabotage another contestant's bakes. I suspect that I am not the only one whose bake was meddled with. Peter's salt and sugar containers were stored in inverse of everyone else's. It would be very unlikely that the person in charge of setting up and storing ingredients wouldn't have known which canister each ingredient went into if they were filling the others as well. And Peter said the night before last that he'd even tasted them at the beginning to make sure, which means someone would have had to swap the containers while we were baking. I stopped to think about what that would mean. Could someone have actually switched them up during the competition? It would be difficult, given the cameras and the lack of privacy, but certainly not impossible. We pass through the stone gate. My mind is worrying. Someone at Bake Week isn't playing by the rules, and that person needs to be brought to task so that the game can be restarted and, this time, played fairly. It's only right. My watch lets out a ding, letting me know my pulse is elevated. I wipe my forehead and am surprised when my hand comes back damp with sweat. Through the taxi's front windshield, I watch the woods begin to clear at the intersection with the state highway.
"Excuse me, sir," I say, my voice rising sharply. "Stop the car. I'll get out here."